Sunday, the 7th of March, 2021. This is Flavia Martak from Delegate Snapshots. Welcome to Editor Speak, where you can listen to our essential articles of the week. This podcast will feature an analysis of the political divide in America and an insight into the SOCOM committee.
The 2020 presidential election in the United States of America kept everybody across the globe glued to their screens, continually refreshing one of the live election trackers. However, aside from the geopolitical implications of the result of this election, it was also another factor that contributed to why we felt like we could not stop looking at the vote count: the closeness of the votes on each side. Until almost the very end of the counting, nobody was certain of who was going to win this election, the final vote tally amounting to 51.3 for Joe R. Biden and 46.8 for Donald J. Trump. Given these results, a very important issue arises. How could America's votes be almost evenly split between two such different candidates? Republicans v. Democrats, the never-ending question. Even though the divide between the Republicans and Democrats may seem irreconcilable today, from a historical point of view, their policies used to be quite similar when they first emerged. However, as time passed, they underwent many changes which shaped their policies today. Until the beginning of the 19th century, the two parties used to be unified under the Democratic-Republican Party, which greatly outshined the opposition party, the Federalists. However, this led to the Democratic-Republicans having no less than four candidates campaigning against each other in the presidential race of 1824, which, after the election of John Quincy Adams, in spite of Andrew Jackson winning the popular vote, led to certain divergences across the party. This eventually led to the parties splitting in two: the Whig and Democratic parties, the latter being led by Andrew Jackson. The Whig party favored a strong federal government and supported the existence of the National Bank, whereas the Democratic party stood in distinct opposition on this issue. However, the two parties were prone to change yet again during the 19th century, as the issue of slavery became a more important point of policy. Democrats were largely split on the issue, which led to the Northern Democrats, together with the Whig Party and other politicians, forming a new party in 1854, the Republicans, which argued for the abolishment of slavery. The party soon came to govern, and, with the election of Abraham Lincoln, the first Republican president of the United States, they succeeded in bolstering the federal government, modernizing the US economy, and naturally abolishing slavery, all while leading the country through the American Civil War. Following the Civil War, the Republican Party became more invested in economic growth, industry, and business in the North, which it has the status of an elitist party for the upper class of society. This, coupled with the stock market crashing in 1929 and linked to the Great Depression, pointed the people of America to shift towards a democratic stance, electing the pro-democrat Franklin D. Roosevelt as president in 1932. Contrasting with the more traditional views held by the Democratic Party at the time, FDR adopted a series of progressive reforms across the country, the most notable being the New Deal, which ensured social security, minimum wage, and improved infrastructure. Such liberal measures paved the way for modern democratic policies and won over a large number of African American voters. However, they also meant that the more conservative Southern supporters switched sides to the Republican Party. The Democrats retained power until 1980, when the Republican Ronald Reagan was elected president. His conservative politics, focused around cutting taxes, preserving family values, and increasing military funding, defined the way Republican politics look today. The ideological split. Nowadays, Democrats and Republicans are wildly different in their policies. On the economic plane, while Democrats argue for the expansion of government-provided health care and increasing minimum wage, Republicans focus on lowering taxes on wealth and limiting government regulations of the economy. Moreover, if you have to take a look at social policies as well, they are still quite contrasting, as Latha believes in harsh immigration restriction and limiting access to abortion, whereas the former insists on implementing more pathways to citizenship for immigrants and the expansion of LGBTQ+ rights. As Democratic and Republican policies further drifted apart, so did the people of the United States of America split between the two parties. While consistently conservative or liberal views were at about 10% in the 90s, they have over doubled, reaching now 21%. Today, 92% of Republicans are to the right of the median Democrat, and 94% of Democrats are to the left of the median Republican. Moreover, the largest problem that may present is not merely the fact that Americans are so politically polarized, but that this split has caused polarization among other more mundane issues as well. Democrats and Republicans oftentimes argue over where they should live, what kind of people they wish to have in their lives, and how to raise their children. Many Republicans and Democrats also refuse to have friends with different political views as well, which has proven to be quite a vicious cycle. If you only surround yourself with people with whom you share the same political views, then how will you ever come into contact with the opposition's views and be influenced to take a more moderate stance? The ideological split that has been produced has not resulted solely from the fact that Democratic and Republican groups are becoming more homogeneous, but also largely due to the fact that how policies of each party are shaped. Democrats and Republicans alike target different demographics, liberal views appealing to those living in more urban areas, whereas conservative views tend to be more largely accepted in the rural parts of the US. It's no wonder why Washington and state, respectively, tend to generally keep being Democratic or Republican, the results of elections becoming almost predictable in many states across the country. Moreover, social media has also started to influence the spread of this phenomenon. Intelligent algorithm, perfectly suited for each individual using such platforms, will only showcase pieces of information it knows that the user most interacts with. Hence, even though a wide range of views can technically exist on social media, we are prone to only seeing the tip of the iceberg, the one with which you fully agree. This leaves little space for growth of opportunities to enter in contact with divergent opinions from your own, leading, once again, to political polarization. Why there's a problem and how it could be mitigated? At this point in the article, many of you might wonder, why is political polarization such a problem, though? Firstly, it is important to know that political polarization is always the cause of concern, as being strongly opinionated about what reforms you wish politicians will bring into your country is a perfectly respectable attitude. However, the concern comes once people start rejecting the idea of compromise and, even worse, debating at all upon different solutions to a particular issue. This can lead not only to disagreements in Congress, hence vital laws being passed with much more difficulty than ever before, but can also affect normal people's lives as they start to reject friends and family members with whom they do not agree on politics. There is no easy solution to this problem, as there is no magical way to undo decades of events that have led up to the political polarization. However, what America and Americans can certainly do is become more open to discussions and to compromise, as only through civilized talks and debates, where both sides can expose their arguments fairly and completely, can we ever reach the best solution.
The Third Committee of the UN General Assembly, also known as the Social, Cultural, and Humanitarian Committee, is one of great importance on the international scene, and is present at most, if not all, MUN conferences, serving as a basis for a high standard of debate in a more beginner-friendly format. Thus, any delegate, no matter their experience or skill level, can and should have at least one SOCOM experience, and everything that it entails. This article will provide a brief overview of this crucial committee and all of its layers, in the hopes that by the end of it, you will at least feel more informed, if not even more convinced, to give it a go yourself. Formation and purpose. The United Nations General Assembly was formed in 1945, and subsequently, the six main subsidiary bodies, including SOCOM, were also created, convening in 1946 for their first meeting. The main topics that govern SOCOM discussions are social, cultural, and humanitarian issues and matters, which can, of course, be deduced quite intuitively from the name of the committee. But in addition to this, it also concerns itself with human rights questions, and works closely with the Human Rights Council to evaluate their reports and their activity. Other topics that often find themselves being discussed within this committee include self-determination rights, discrimination, indigenous peoples' rights, refugee treatment, people with disabilities, crime and its prevention and justice, drug control, and other such social issues. A more comprehensive list can be found on the United Nations website. Past international involvement and action. Possibly one of the most significant actions in SOCOM history, if not even the most important, was its influence and impact on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, or UDHR. Eleanor Roosevelt, one of the main driving forces that encouraged and supervised the creation of the UDHR after World War II, said that it was recommended by the Third Committee. And indeed, from September to December 1948, SOCOM held 81 meetings to discuss various draft proposals and versions, even creating a subcommittee to ensure that the quality of language was on par with what their vision was. The 75th meeting. SOCOM convenes on a yearly basis in October-November, and so the most recent meeting occurred just a few months ago in October 2020. This also happened to be its 75th session, coinciding with the UN's general celebration of 75 years of functioning and of making the world a better place. This session was chaired by Her Excellency Katalin Bogiai from Hungary, and had proposed to discuss a range of topics, such as but not limited to the following: the promotion of sustained economic growth and human rights, crime prevention and drug control, follow-ups to the Durban Declaration and the Vienna Declaration, literacy programs, and the rights of indigenous people. Not only this, but it also planned to discuss and talk to experts and chairs of several working groups in concordance with authorization given by the Human Rights Council. SOCOM MUN topics. MUNs in Romania have seen many wonderful and mystical SOCOM topics that have challenged delegates to oftentimes think outside the box. However, in an effort to maybe convince you to try it out as well, instead of presenting you with topics that have already been debated, we have gathered a list of a few upcoming conferences and their SOCOM topics. Teen MUN, Combating Racism, Xenophobia, and Related Intolerance. Bacău MUN, Global Literacy, Providing Access to Education for All. Coșbuc MUN, Rights of Civil Disobedience and Protecting Individuals from Radicalism. Interact MUN, Addressing the Issue of Police Brutality. And Lazar MUN, The Limitations Religious Minorities Face in Their Expression of Faith. Concluding remarks. SOCOM as a committee often gets overlooked by delegates wishing to challenge themselves in exchange for more notoriously difficult and argumentative committees such as the Security Council or Crisis. However, its bland reputation should not discourage anyone from giving it a go, because surprises may occur. And in fact, many of the most heated debates that go on at MUN conferences have been seen to occur in this very committee, regardless of the public opinion that it is only for beginners.
Thank you for listening to Editor Speaks. For more from Delegate Snapshots, check out our website, which you can find in this podcast descriptions. I am Flavia Martac, and this was Delegate Snapshots.